Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey everybody, welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. We try to navigate our way through the propaganda and all of the clown worldery that we're currently involved with. I got a nice email from a viewer this morning who sent us a nice email, and he said, "I'm so glad I discovered your show." He said, "It provides a little bit of sanity in an otherwise crazy clown world." And I said, All right, a little bit of sanity. That's what you'll get over the next hour as we dive into some big stories today that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the invasion of the United States. And of course, we've had a number of journalists here on the show. We've been tracking it independently as well, where these massive migrant caravans are coming through South America. Tracking it. Michael Yon is going to be joining us just here in a few moments to talk about the tracking of the massive amounts of migrants coming up through El Salvador, through Panama, into the United States. And overnight, we saw a record number of illegal migrants heading into Eagle Pass and El Paso. So we'll cover that tonight on the show.
Also, we're going to take a look at the latest in the Julian Assange persecution because he now has a trial date set for February. We're not sure who the judge will be. He has had biased judges before. We're going to bring you that news and break down what may or may not be his final appeal. So calling all people with decency, because if Julian Assange is not free, none of us are. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the German farmers who have driven their equipment into Germany, into Berlin, to protest new policies that are basically going after farmers in order to make up for the failures of the German government. So all that and more as Redacted starts right now. Clown worldery is a word.
Clown worldery?
Yeah. I don't think we should use that word. What do you think?
I don't know.
In the chat, do you like that as a word? Or
non-pacifist peace extremist? It also doesn't flow
that
off the
works.
Tongue either.
That is a term that we all identify with here.
No, anyway, it is a freaking clown world. It is absolutely crazy. And I mean, the stories that we're seeing heading into 2024, I was having a conversation today with a former FBI agent who was saying, he's like, I'm really, really concerned about what's going to happen in 2024 and whether or not we're even going to have an election. And that seems like where things are heading right now. It's absolutely crazy. So we are in a clown world, but we welcome all of you into our little world here. And we can try to navigate this this clown worldery together. And look, we're not always going to get it right. We're going to try. We will make mistakes, but our goal is to follow the truth wherever it leads. So we had to wake up Michael Yon, war correspondent, Green Beret. He's going to be joining us in a minute. I had to wake him up overnight here. So I sat down with him a short time ago in El Salvador to talk to him about these migrant caravans that are coming up through to the United States. So we'll get to that in a second.
But first, we want to tell you about our newsletter over at redacted.inc because it is a totally free newsletter. It is daily every day that this show is live, Monday through Thursday, and it comes out in the morning if you live in the United States or the afternoon if you're in Europe. And it is a compendium of everything we talk about on this show, so you can read original sources. You can read the stories that we're going to talk about so that you are informed by the time you get here. Not required reading, of course, but it's helpful. Again, because journalists today, they don't care about linking you to original sources, but we still do. Nothing's behind a paywall. Nothing is an upsell. Free is free, just like this show. So please do join the newsletter. Go to redacted.inc, click join the newsletter, put your email address in, and then you'll get a welcome email. You click that yes, like that girl's clicking and liking it and saying, yes, I want the Redacted newsletter. It's good stuff. She's clicking it. She's happy. You will be too. So please do. Get our free newsletter today at redacted.inc.
Well, there's no other way to look at this. This is being called Armageddon at the U.S. border. The invasion of the United States has been happening for years. It's unfolding in a way that we've never seen before over the past perhaps 24 to 48 hours. Record number of illegal immigrants coming across the border, staging in El Paso and Eagle Pass. Mass of thousands of migrants waiting to be processed by border security in Eagle Pass. And as reporters on the ground are saying, they've never seen it this overwhelmed. Now we also have railway lines, Union Pacific railway lines, stopping 45% of all rail cars moving to and from Mexico through El Paso and Eagle Pass. Union Pacific saying there's not enough capacity, there's not enough routes, and to reroute them. And all of this illegal immigration coming across is slowing down international trade. Someone who's, of course, been watching this very closely and has been watching this entire flow, this migrant pattern, all the way up from Latin America through Panama into the United States is Michael Yon, investigative journalist, former U.S. Green Beret, one of the great journalists in the world and really a national treasure, and joins us now. Michael, good to see you. You're in El Salvador. I just want to get your take. First of all, you've been watching this pattern flowing, and you're sort of at the tip of the spear there watching this flowing up here. What are you seeing down there, and were you surprised to see the numbers that we saw overnight coming out of Eagle Pass?
Hey, Clayton. Yeah, I'm in El Salvador now. As you know, I'm always downrange down here. I go upstream a lot. A lot of times I'm actually on the tech. I've been all the way across the U.S. border quite a lot, all the way from Boca Chica at SpaceX on the Gulf side, all the way to San Diego. I mean, I'm constantly doing this stuff. But so I got up. It's 3 o'clock in the morning here, but I got up to check and see how Doc Chambers is doing. You know, Pete Chambers, I sent you the video of Doc. He's on the border tonight. He's a retired Green Beret doctor. He was also in the Texas National Guard for some years, and he worked the border. And so he and I have been up and down that border quite a lot, and he's on the border tonight. He's never seen anything like this either. So I just literally woke up to see how he's doing. He sent he's never seen anything like it either. Border Patrol just sent me Doc just sent me a message right now, actually.
Well, while you're getting that message from Doc, let me play Doc's latest video. This is in Eagle Pass. Okay. And he just sent this video just a short time ago. Let's roll that. Take a look.
Doc Chambers from Eagle Pass, Texas. Today's the 18th of December. We're out here at the point of entry. 5,000 are sitting on the ground right now. It's increasing as we go along. Information that we've received says another 7,000 should be processed through this particular point by morning. Joe and I have been here many times. Last time we were down here, we were in uniform, and now I'm a civilian and in the Army of God. So, we'll keep telling truths, and you need to get this video to your legislators and tell them, in the state of Texas particularly, this is out of control. Thank you very much.
So he's never seen anything like this, and he's calling on you to send it to your legislators because this is an invasion. Military-age men pouring across the border into the United States. Democrats, of course, are very quick to point out that they're in favor of replacement theory. But if you're, on the conservative side, if you bring it up, then you're somehow a bigot, you're a racist. But of course, Democrats have been calling for this in Texas, to turn Texas into a blue state, to, of course, affect them in an election. Here's what Democrats have been saying for years about this replacement, this invasion being, Americans being replaced by this invasion. Take a look.
It seems harder and harder to ignore that the echoes of replacement theory and other racially motivated views are increasingly coming out into the open.
In a few years, we're going to be a majority brown country. White people will not be the majority in the country anymore.
This will be the first generation ever in American history in which whites will be a minority of the generation at some point.
As of 2007, every year babies being born in this country, whites now are the minority.
In 2044, everyone is going to be a minority.
As the demographics change, as white people become the minority in the country, which is coming.
Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny, right?
So, Michael, this is happening. What did Doc just send you here? I'm just curious as we're watching this in real time unfolding.
He literally just sent me a message because I messaged to him that I'm going on with you. He said, I can say this because by the time people see it, he'll be out of this position. He said, sitting in a hide site watching train bridge 6 miles north of POE, which is the point of entry at Eagle Pass. No traffic, but watching on thermals for MVT will capture footage and launch drone, if any. Staying quiet. Don't think I have a good signal for live. One bar. Let me send him a message real quick. Yeah. Hey, Doc, I'm on with Clayton Morris right now. Please give me anything else, and I'll tell Clayton while we're on.
So he's right there. I mean, he's right there at the point of entry, watching, as we saw here, thousands of individuals coming across there, and using thermals. I mean, it's Border Patrol. I mean, they're just overwhelmed. I mean, when you're talking to your Border Patrol agents, what are they saying to you?
Oh, one just sent me a message actually 15 minutes ago. 4,500 in custody right now. That's at the Eagle Pass area. He said, I'm looking at apprehensions now. The majority by far are single adult males between 19 and 40 years old. So this is tonight, now. It is a mix of nationalities, but the largest number are Venezuelans, followed by Hondurans. But the bottom line is 19 to 40 year olds, the majority are single adult males. And he says, when females are encountered, they are usually part of a family group, which is true. That's what I see when I'm on the border as well. Which again, I'm downrange from the border. That's why I'm upstream. That's why I'm sending information back to Pete and others, saying what I see, so that they have an idea what's coming their way. So I'm basically at the pitcher's mound, and they're at the catcher's mitt.
So President Trump says if he's elected, he's going to put an immediate stop, an immediate stop to the border flood, and then do a mass deportation. But by the time that happens, if that happens, how many tens of millions more will be coming across the U.S. border? Tens of thousands more, I should say, maybe coming across the U.S. border in the meantime. You can't stop this.
No, it'll be millions. It'll be millions for sure. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm constantly down here uprange. That's why I'm, in places like Morocco and watching all these different flows, or Colombia, Panama, the Darien Gap in Panama, the routes are being expanded, right? And I mean, more than tripled, right? So, I mean, for instance, the flows of Chinese, you've talked with Anthony Rubin, muckraker, good friend as well. We've been down to Darien Gap, and we've been all the way across the border as well. He's seeing so many Chinese come through. For instance, they've got their own ecosystem, right? Then you've got the ecosystem of the Venezuelans, who are the most of the people coming in right now are Venezuelans. But keep in mind, a lot of those Venezuelans actually, believe it or not, are Hezbollah. There are a lot of Hezbollah down in Venezuela, and actually there's a part of Syria where the people actually speak Spanish. A lot of people don't realize that, and the reason why is because more than a century ago, many of the people from that part of the world came to South America and Central America, and then some of them bounced back, and they took Spanish with them, right? So there's a lot of interaction. For instance, I'm in El Salvador now, and actually the president is Palestinian, right, Bukele. So I mean, this is more textured than a lot of people might imagine.
So Hezbollah coming into the United States. Yesterday, Governor Greg Abbott gave Texas police the power to arrest illegals. And of course, liberals are freaking out about this. Oh, this is going to be terrible. Like, you're going to be mass arrests, and this is bigots. This is bigotry. What do you think? How do you think this is going to change things? Texas police now being given the power to arrest illegals in Texas.
Nothing. I've been extremely accurate on what's unfolding, mostly because I spend so much time on the border and downrange, right? Abbott is a member of World Economic Forum. That's what you need to know, because we've reached a point, I've done this for so many years, whether it's war or watching the border and that sort of thing, energy issues, nitrogenous fertilizers, you reach a certain point where your instincts are more valuable than details, right? And what I need to know is, what his intent is and what his capabilities are. Abbott's intent, he's a member of the World Economic Forum. His intent is clear: to invade the United States and Europe and other places like Japan, right? That's clear. his capabilities include being able to do that. He's doing kayfabe. Kayfabe is that wrestling term where, you know, where it's a fake fight, right? He constantly does the kayfabe. For instance, I was down at, you know, Eagle Pass and Piedras Negras. Eagle Pass is the Texas side of the border where Doc Chambers is at tonight. I've spent, I don't know, more than a month down there. I spent 2 weeks just on the Mexican side, and, you know, on Piedras Negras. It was just across the river. At one point, I was down there on the Rio Grande. Doc said there's about 5,000 tonight in Piedras Negras. Border Patrol just said 4,500 are in custody there. So that means more like 10,000. And then there's another 7,000, Doc said, in Piedras Negras across the river. Now, I was in Piedras Negras for a couple. I stayed there because the Mexican authorities and the cartels didn't give me hassles like the Border Patrol did and like the National Guard in Texas. They would give me hassles being on the border. But on the Mexican side, I was just right there with the aliens coming in. Anyway, so Abbott was there. I was there watching my phone, actually, and Abbott was giving some sort of a speech about how they're closing the border. Meanwhile, the aliens were crossing right in front of me through the Rio Grande, right in front of me. I'm watching him speak, and he's just lying. And I'm watching the National Guard, and everybody helped them up the river. I yelled at the National Guard, "Hey, I'm watching your governor. You're supposed to be pushing them back to me." You know, and, you know, they could hear me across the river. It's not that train that they're talking about closing. The train track was right to my right when I was yelling at him. That's the train track that Doc is watching right now. I followed that train track about an hour down into Mexico. And that's the train actually that, you know, that we just saw Anthony Rubin was on, right? Very dangerously.
From Muckraker.
The beast, they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That train. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
No, I was just saying we were in a little bit of a delay here, you and El Salvador, but it was filled, right? I mean, that train is filled with illegal migrants coming across. Is that the same train?
It is. It is. I mean, it's just, it looks like India sometimes. You know, I spent a year in India. You know, sometimes the trains are just covered with people, and that's the way it is now.
Can I ask you this? So we're talking about, right, we're talking to you on a day when the Biden administration is putting together a coalition of the willing. Yeah, you know, sounds familiar, like the, you know, invasion of Iraq. 10 countries, Western nations sending over 30 ships to the Red Sea to make sure that trade can flow. And, you know, looks like probably attacking Yemen and attacking Houthi rebels in Yemen. And so we're concerned about international trade in the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. But here we literally have. We have our own train infrastructure, Union Pacific, telling us that 45% of all the cars can't get through. They're having to slow down agricultural products coming in, food and beverages, automotive, consumer goods, industrial commodities, talking metals, cement. We're talking dry food products, beer, grain held in Midwest states that are being. So this is all being shut down. We're sending 30 ships to the Middle East. And yet international trade on our southern border is being halted. I mean, do you not see the hypocrisy? I mean, I know you see the hypocrisy here, but I'm just absolutely furious about this.
Actually, I mean, I watch your show all the time, by the way. I was just watching it when we were driving 3 hours yesterday through El Salvador. There was actually good signal, believe it or not. Watch it. You're getting it dead on accurate. And that's what's bothersome, because I'm always downrange, and also in Europe and the other parts of the world watching this. This is not hypocrisy. They are actually trying to destroy the United States. World Economic Forum is crystal clear what they're doing. So what they're doing, I mean, it sounds like hypocrisy from the outside, but when you're watching what they're actually doing, they're trying to crush our economy. They're trying to build back better. Basically, it's a replacement population. And of course, they always say, oh, that's a conspiracy. It's not conspiracy at all. They say it with their mouths. They write it. They publish it. You know, it's crystal clear what they're doing. They're, you know, I was just on the Armstrong Williams show, and I've told him, I don't know, last week or so as well. We were on it tonight with Kash Patel and Sam Faddis talking about this stuff. I told Armstrong a week or two ago, I said, you know, they're crystal clear what they plan to do. They plan to kill the white people and to use Black Americans and whatnot to kill. They say this, right? And then when we're out of the way, they will then kill the Black people. It's crystal clear. You know, I spent about a year running around China as well, right? And so I'm very dialed into what the Chinese Communist Party is up to. They're co-sanguinated with the World Economic Forum. They're that tight. Eventually, they'll fight each other, of course. You know, I've written 3 books, by the way, on Chinese Communist Party information war. Unfortunately, they're all in Japanese. They're not in English because I've been watching it over there. I go to their museums. They're never going to let me back. Museums are vital for picking up signal to noise when it comes to information war. That's why I go to dozens of countries just going to museums. It's crystal clear what they're planning to do. They say it. It's in their museums. They're coming for a great genocide.
So, yeah, to outsiders, it would look like, well, this is hypocrisy. They're just doing this. And how can you not see this? But it's intentional, is what you're saying. It's an intentional replacement.
Oh, yes, sir. It's like radiation. I mean, they're hitting us. I mean, when you know what their game plan is, they're quite easy to predict. You know, as soon as Biden was installed, I was there for the inauguration, right? And I flew immediately to El Paso. So I was in Washington at the inauguration. I was like, you know what? They're going to open the border right now. And I published right around that time, they're going to start tearing down the wall, right? Because, I mean, if my paradigm is accurate, they would start tearing down the wall. And if your and they haven't physically torn down the wall, but they've torn it down essentially, right? If your paradigm is accurate, by the way, you can skip all the details often about, you don't need to know every tiny detail about, like, this is why I got so good at war, because I would work on my paradigm. And if your paradigm is, let me tell you ways to tell if your paradigm is reasonably accurate. If you're surprised by anything like the sex in the Senate the other day, then your paradigm is, you need to recalculate. Like the GPS in your car, you're lost, recalculate route. It's the same with your paradigm. If you feel the emotion of surprise, then you need to rework it and tweak it or just throw it out. I was not surprised at all. Disgusted, yes, not surprised, because they're doing demoralization subversion, right? And so this all, I've been saying for several years now, they're gonna start going after national cemeteries. They're gonna defund them. You're gonna see attacks on the gravestones and that sort of thing. They haven't gotten that far yet, but they will. You look at them,
they're tearing
down
statues
now in Arlington.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Biden administration is tearing down statues now in the—
That's all in the paradigm. The paradigm is so highly predictive. And I mean, I learned how to use these paradigms by reading so much Feinstein and whatnot as a teenager, and just reading so much physics and learning how to, you know, to try to form a view of the universe around me that's actually predictive, right? And what we will see, if my paradigm is correct, I said it on your show before, Panama Canal has obviously got massive problems. I'm about to go back to Panama. That's choking down our trade. That's vital. That's important. And I've been publishing, somehow they're going to close down the Suez, Red Sea, Straits of Hormuz, all these sorts of things. You're going to see, like, Straits of Malacca and all these other choke points are in danger. The nitrogenous fertilizers, earlier this year, I was down in the Netherlands and Groningen, where the massive gas field is. That's the biggest gas field in Europe. I was warning in March when I was on Jordan Peterson. Jordan asked me to go over to Netherlands and look at things. So I flew over and I looked at it and I went on a show and I said, I think they're going to close Groningen. And now they have. That's really important. Groningen is where you get, it's the biggest gas field in Europe. And why would they close Groningen? Not just for energy, but because that's where they get the hydrogen that you combine with nitrogen to make ammonia, to make the nitrogenous fertilizers, which was a system that started in 1914 in BASF Germany at Ludwigshafen. It's called the Haber-Bosch process. That Haber-Bosch process is absolutely vital for creating enough fertilizers to feed the world, right? And they have been bit by bit shutting down all this. I was in BASF last year with Masako Ganaha, the Japanese journalist, and I asked the guy giving us the tour, I said, what happens if Nord Stream gets cut, right? This was before it was cut, because in my paradigm, Nord Stream would probably get cut. I didn't know, but it did, right? And it feeds, and it's on her audio. I said, what happens if Nord Stream gets cut? And he said something like, in that German way, you know, BASF is dead. Well, it's not dead, but it has reduced the amount of nitrogenous fertilizer. All these additive pressures, the sea closures, the route, you know, the Houthis doing their thing. If my paradigm is accurate, we will end up in a serious war with Iran, and this war will expand. Remember, wars predictably do two things. One is they grow, and they grow unpredictably. The thing that's predictable about wars is they grow and they're unpredictable, and they grow unpredictably. And this one is out of control. It's not in anybody's control anymore. And it's clear that the intent of the war, always watch for their intent. That's why I go to museums and whatnot so much. You can learn a lot from museums if you pick the right museums. The signal to noise, they're going for a genocide.
You've got to pay attention to what Michael is saying. Michael travels the world. He's one of the he's one of the most prolific book readers that I know. You know, my wife and I read a heck of a lot of books, but Michael is traveling the world. He's at the border. He's watching these flows of migrants. He's studying this, and you're constantly sending me books to read, things that you've just read, it's so vital to make sure that you're constantly reading and learning this, and it's fascinating to see. And then, of course, you know, I'll get you out of here on this, Michael, which is then the German farmers are now revolting. You know, the story of the morning, the German farmers are now revolting. So again, I think it's so important what you just said. Change your paradigm. Then you won't be shocked when you hear this stuff, the Senate sex scandal, millions of people pouring across the southern border. Now we're going to war, presumably, with Iran. That's all been laid out, and we knew that this was coming. Michael, what do you see with this tens of thousands of individuals at Eagle Pass? Do you see them shutting it down? Are you see them any way preventing any more to come across? Or is this going to continue to flow? We're going to continue to daily set new records at the southern border.
New records. That's why I'm downrange. And again, that's why I'm always working on my paradigm more than the details. I think I learned that from Richard Feinstein when I was a kid. You know, everything I could read from him, I would read. And he would talk about how to develop a way of looking at the world that was predictive. And you should not be surprised, right? It's very clear. That's why, again, I'm about to head back to Panama. I'm watching the inputs. That's why, again, Pete, Doc Chambers, and everybody that's on the border in Texas now, they're at the catcher's mitt. I'm at the pitcher's mound. I'm telling you, the pitches are coming bigger and bigger and faster. The route in Darien Gap is opening up wider. The routes through Nicaragua are bigger, more flights coming in. So there's a lot of different inputs, and I'm watching all these capillary flows form into arteries to the United States, not to mention the northern border and also the giant Chinese embassy in Bahamas. A lot of them are coming from Bahamas, landing on the beaches of Florida. And then we have Swift Air flights coming in day and night. Like they come from Colombia, they come from Guatemala. I was just up in Guatemala talking with Intel people up there and everybody else under the sun. They fly straight from Guatemala. It's interesting, these Intel guys in Guatemala told me, they said, you know, these big caravans that come up, a lot of Americans look at that and they get distracted by the numbers. But in reality, they do those caravans so they can smuggle large amounts of drugs and other things that they smuggle, because you can't search that many people. So, if they come up one bus at a time, which there might be, 200 buses in a day, but they can search every one of those buses because they've got the group separated off. They can't write in a big way. You got them outnumbered when you're searching. You know, the army has them outnumbered, the police. But when they come in, 5,000, the mob has the forces outnumbered. Keep in mind, the Texas National Guard and the DPS, Department of Public Safety in Texas, and the rest of the people down there, they are facilitating the invasion, right? I mean, I'm down there a lot. There are a lot of patriots in those organizations, but their leadership is completely captured. We haven't seen a single general or admiral stand up about the border, not a single one. And I know quite a few of them. Not a single one has stood up. Or on the death jabs, not a single one stood up. They just let it flow. Right. And this likewise in Israel, you see what's happening in Israel. If my paradigm is right, they will do a genocide in Gaza. That's clear. And it could be a nested sort of Pushka doll genocide. Israel itself could end up genocided. Right. Right now they're doing it to Gaza, but it can easily happen to Israel. Now, a lot of people say that's impossible. The IDF is Superman and blah, 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 which is absolute nonsense. They're not Superman. In fact, they're not entirely competent. Right. We saw what they have, great weapons. But keep in mind, they only their logistics train is 10 miles from, from Gaza. I mean, they're fighting in their own backyard. They can't defend their perimeter. They can't defend the sea routes. They can be cut off. They can be starved out just like the people they're starving out. That's why I'm saying it can be a Pushka doll type thing. You see what's happening on the larger scale is the emotions are being built up across the world about what's happening. And you see, you know, Lebanon could enter. You could have 100,000 rockets flying into Israel tomorrow, right? According to the IDF, 60,000 Israelis are already internally displaced, right? And it could get very serious. And so what I'm saying is this is a global conflict. And what we're seeing here and these flows is part of it. And the trains and all these little things, they're big on one scale. But on the global scale, big is like Suez, Panama Canal, you know, all these Straits of Malacca, all these other places which could be interdicted, right? And then you'll see global famines, especially when you add up the global the pressures from the reduction of nitrogenous fertilizers. I was just reading an article last night, actually that Masako Ganaha found in Spanish, and it was you know, talking about how China is sending so much foodstuffs and fertilizers, nitrogenous fertilizers, to here, to El Salvador, right? Because China's making a big go for El Salvador. That's why I'm here. They're building a library down the road from me. It's eight floors. It's seven floors above CCP's building, Chinese Communist Party, building a big library. I was just in it. We spent hours in it the other day. We spent 45 minutes in line to get into this library. It's open 24/7. It's an information campaign for CCP to basically schmooze over the El Salvadorians. Right, I see this everywhere I go.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But if you're tuned in and your paradigm is right, then you'd understand this. Michael Yan, in El Salvador for us. Thank you so much for all of this, and I hope that this maybe opens up some people's eyes to what's actually happening here at the U.S. southern border and globally. Michael, great to see you. Thank you so much, and we'll check back with you here as you head into Panama. Okay, we really appreciate it, Michael.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate coming on. I'm sorry I'm wearing this shirt. I was literally in bed, woke up to check on Doc Chambers, see if he's okay on the border.
No apologies.
Jump on an airplane.
No apologies. This is what real journalism looks like, you know, in the dark of night, covering these stories. So thanks, Michael, as always. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Clayton.
Thanks, Michael. And as I mentioned, you know, it was 3 a.m. there when I got to speak with him. And then we've had some kind of crazy news this afternoon as well. Ashley St. Clair. If you follow Ashley on Twitter, she's been blowing up today because of what she experienced on this Delta flight. And now, so she was flying from Phoenix to New York, and she couldn't believe she's standing in line in Phoenix. And why are there just like hundreds of illegal immigrants standing there in line? And they don't even have passports. They don't have anything. What is going on here? Trying to get answers from Delta employees, and she can't. She says what she explained is she was like posting videos of all these migrants in line. She couldn't believe it. She said, I'm overwhelmed with the number of messages and tips that I'm receiving from commercial airline pilots from Delta and other airlines who've been too scared to speak up on this issue. One told me that COVID-positive migrants are being flown. Another told me migrants without ID are being let on these flights. Another showed me paperwork for all of the places these illegal migrants are being shipped across the United States. Pilots are being left in the dark about what exactly is happening, and they have to do their own fact-finding in secret to find out about it. She says, I'm in possession of documents from Homeland Security and Delta and many other airlines, and I'm doing my best to verify and go through everything. And it's unbelievable. So it's, you know, they're being on taxpayer
answers,
dollars.
Right.
Yeah, we absolutely are. And they're being
answers.
Quiet about it. The Department of Homeland Security is totally quiet about it.
Yeah.
So thanks to Michael for his amazing reporting. Again, war correspondent, travels the world and, you know, be able to sleep during the day and is at the border at night at 3 a.m, being able to capture what's actually happening. I thought it was fascinating that the Chinese Communist Party just built a brand new 8-story library in El Salvador. Like, what is going on? We should be asking serious questions, and that's what we're trying to do here. So thank you guys for subscribing to the channel and being a part of our live show. We really appreciate it.
It's really hard to find a thread through this, you know? I'm fine to change my paradigm, but so much of it just doesn't make sense. It's not that I don't believe it. It's just, like,
and see it with your own eyes.
Why?
All you need to do is look at the footage. Like, they're not doing anything to stop it.
Right.
And you literally have other choke points. And you talk about Ashley here at the Phoenix airport. She's witnessing hundreds of illegal migrants being put on Delta flights and being shipped and ferreted
during
around
the holidays,
during the holidays
winter.
Through the country. Like right now, it's happening.
Right.
But they're not covering it. So we will continue to cover it here on the show. So please subscribe, and thank you guys for that. We've got a lot more news to get to here. We're going to talk about Julian Assange. And could he actually walk free? This is a big bombshell part of the Assange story for free speech and freedom of the press. We're going to get to that story in just a moment.
I just got goosebumps. Have you ever heard that you can't give yourself goosebumps? It's just like whatever higher power telling you something.
I will say it now. I just got goosebumps also. I'm telling you, he is going to be let out.
Let's everybody collectively knock on wood. Look, that happened again.
Yeah, I just
felt
it too.
They say that's like your spirit guides or angels or whatever talking to you is when you get goosebumps, because you cannot make yourself get goosebumps. So whenever you get goosebumps, you're supposed to pay attention to like what the universe is trying to tell
you
or whatever.
I think he's getting let out. I feel it. Do you guys feel it? I feel it. Something is changing here, and I think he's going
to
be let out.
I cannot wait to talk about Julian Assange. We're also going to talk about attacks in Russia in the winter. Talk about a real winter. We're going to talk about also German farmers driving their tractors into Berlin saying, no, you, German government, have to fill your deficits elsewhere. You can't take from us. We have Ralph Schollhammer coming up on the show. He is one of my favorite political analysts to break this down.
And we're going
to
look at the COVID shots. We're going to look at what Pfizer and BioNTech knew about it. We can't talk about that story on YouTube. We're going to have to, we have a special guest, an investigative journalist, to dive into what did Pfizer know about their shots. What did BioNTech know about their shots ahead of time? And we're going to talk about that. Excuse me, we can't talk about that here on YouTube, so we'll be doing that on our Rumble channel. We're live on both channels simultaneously, but we will have to end our stream in a little while later. But we can't do that here on YouTube because they will be banned and blocked.
Olaf says, I can make myself have goosebumps. No, you can't. You absolutely cannot give yourself goosebumps.
Olaf, you're the only one.
All right. We're going to get to
that.
I'm
pretty inspiring. I'm sorry. Maybe I think I could give myself goosebumps. I'm pretty inspiring.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You cannot give yourself goosebumps.
I'm going to sit here and try.
Okay, try and let me know. You might pee yourself if you try too hard. I'm glad you're in a different room. All right. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at NetSuite, because, hey, maybe this year, this upcoming year, is the year where your business booms and you realize you need to automate more parts of your business. If your business was humming this year and now you feel like you're behind, your teams were buried in manual work, taking forever to close your books, now is the time to consider automating all of that stuff and check out NetSuite. You can check them out at netsuite.com/redacted. You get one source of truth. It's, you know, you don't have to go pecking around like, where's this spreadsheet? Where do I keep this budget? Where do we automate this thing? Your business can get to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge if it's not seamless integration with all of your tasks. So if you have too many manual processes and you want to put them all in one place, you don't have to have just one source. You can have one source instead of just putting your business together with spit and glue. NetSuite actually turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. So again, think about where you want to take your business in 2024 and how it can grow without being such a pain seamlessly when everything is automated. So right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/redacted. That's netsuite.com/redacted to get your own KPI checklist free and then see what else they have to offer you there. Again, that's netsuite.com/redacted.
And we want to thank all of you guys who are subscribed. It's free to subscribe here on YouTube and Rumble. Just subscribe. Your name will pop up here on the big board. So thank you guys so much for being a part. There's somebody who just joined the rebellion. Chimoki.
Thank you, Chimoki,
for joining Redacted. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's talk Phillip, about Assange. How's that going with the goosebumps? Did you succeed?
I haven't tried yet.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to do it later because you're constantly.
It's dangerous to be that inspiring all the time. I have to prepare.
All right.
I have to build a pillow fort in the living room first.
I mean, I think I wouldn't believe you unless I saw a video saying, have goosebumps, Natalie, and then you do it. I think some people in the chat are also saying they're called goose pimples in some places. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about Julian Assange. Well, Julian Assange will have his final appeal to the UK court to fight against extradition to the United States, where he says he will not get a fair trial or be treated humanely. Already, he has never been treated humanely since his legal battles began in 2010. He's been held in a high-security prison for the past at least 5 years without having been convicted of anything. Now, we're going to talk about the trial. We're going to talk about a bipartisan effort in the U.S. to free him and about the special treatment he's had since the day he left Sweden on accusations of a sexual assault. But first, some context, because the U.K. hearing in his case is for extradition, and it has been going on since 2019. Now, meanwhile, he's being held in Belmarsh Prison, which is a high-security prison where his health is failing, which has been corroborated by doctors. He's suffering from extreme neuroses. He's scared all the time, and he's extremely paranoid, understandably so. He's rarely granted access to his lawyers, and he's denied books and computers. And when he does get to meet with his lawyers, the prison guards say, oh, he's not out yet. He's still doing this thing. He can't make it. So they'll say, you can meet with him between 12 and 3, let's say. And then, oh, he doesn't make it there until 1:30. And then they only have 90 minutes. They do this to him all the time. They did not do that to Chelsea Manning. Chelsea Manning had regular access to books, journals, and computers, and lawyers. Assange, I remind you, is only awaiting extradition, has not been convicted of anything. Now, I'd like to compare that with this man. Do you know who this is? This is former Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa. He was arrested in England in April of 2022 on a request from Ecuador, which was seeking extradition to try him for corruption. While his extradition proceedings went on, did he live in prison? He did not. He lived here. This is the neighborhood of Westminster. It's by Buckingham Palace and Hyde Park. He lived in a detached property, a large detached property with 5 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, a spacious living area, and a garden, and he could come and go as he pleased. He was never extradited. He applied for asylum in Belgium, and it was granted in 2022. The Belgian government's decision to grant him asylum was based on the assessment that he was being persecuted for political reasons. Well, we know Julian Assange has been persecuted for political reasons. Countries are not lining up to offer him asylum. And why does he have to wait it out in prison, whereas this former Ecuadorian president gets a luxurious detached single home in Westminster? I ask you. Do you know why? It is not necessary or necessarily normal to keep someone in prison while they await extradition. So why do this to Julian Assange? Could it be because he published some of the worst war crimes that the U.S. and the U.K. government were guilty of? Or could it be, check this out, because the judge that originally presided over his extradition hearing was this woman, Lady Emma Arbuthnot.
Arbuthnot?
Yes, Arbuthnot. Emma Arbuthnot. Judge Arbuthnot. Her husband...
She looks like a lot of fun.
Yes, she's not, and I'm going to tell you why. Her husband is Lord James Arbuthnot. He is a conservative politician and former defense minister in the UK who happened to have been outed in the WikiLeaks releases showing he had received funding from defense contractors.
He looks like something. I can't quite put my finger on it.
It doesn't matter what he looked like, Clayton. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was outed in WikiLeaks for being a corrupt politician and taking money for wars that he started. And they still allowed his wife to be the judge in the WikiLeaks case.
No conflict of interest. The Arbuthnots, the former defense apparatus, literally in charge of having him held in Belmarsh Prison.
Yes.
In squalid conditions.
Now, she did step down from this case because she said there was a perception of bias, which is utter shit. It's actual bias. There's no perception there. But it was her rulings that put him in these terrible living conditions, having him being held in these prisons to begin with. Now, I want to present one more bit of awful hypocrisy by the UK government when it comes to Assange. In 2019, 70 British MPs signed a letter that we're going to show you here to the Home Secretary urging that Julian Assange be extradited to Sweden to face an investigation into rape allegations. Now, we've discussed these allegations before. They were absolutely bungled by the Swedish government in a way that hurt both Assange and the accusers. They used those ladies like dirty rags. It was awful. They never cared about those women in Sweden. We can talk about them another time. It's not to say that I don't believe them, but I don't think that they got a fair shake, and neither did Assange. Now, here is the letter From those MPs, they're saying they really care about sexual violence victims and that Assange must face justice because, sexual assault and rape charges are so serious. They stand with the victims. He must stand to justice. You know who they did not do that to? In the same year, the U.S. Justice Department asked to interview Prince Andrew about allegations in the Epstein crimes. And guess what? No MPs wrote a letter about sexual assault victims and perpetrators being interviewed and that the victims must actually get their day in court. No letter like that at all. Isn't that interesting?
Curious.
Even when the Justice Department a year later published this saying that Prince Andrew said that he was being cooperative, but we're still waiting for him. They never did interview him. Recall, he settled those cases. So the UK never cared about sexual assault victims. They never cared about justice. They only just wanted Assange. That is, as the Brits would say, total faff. Assange has been exercising every single appeal available to him for freedom. And the court ruled that he could be extradited last year, and they upheld that ruling. Now, this year, he has a trial date set for February 20th through 21st. Now, here's a statement from his team. They are reminding us what's at stake is a possible sentence of 175 years for exposing war crimes committed by the U.S. and the U.K. as well. Immediately after the court date was announced, protesters said that they would go to the court at 8:30 a.m. on the days of these trials. Do that if you can. I want to encourage you. Now, it said Assange has been confined in high-security Belmarsh prison since he was arrested in April of 2019, and this will be his fifth Christmas there. What is at stake here, they say, is that there will be a panel of two judges, but we don't know who these judges are yet. It has not been announced. And they will review this high court decision, and they will determine whether he will have further opportunities to argue his case before domestic court. So they're going to say, okay, maybe yes or no, but does he get any more appeals? Does he perhaps have any other chance? So it could be his Hail Mary, or they could decide to kick the can down the road. We don't know. Now, there is a bipartisan resolution in Congress that was released just a few days ago that supports freeing Julian Assange. It's not law. It's a plea to the Biden administration to protect the First Amendment and drop all charges against an attempt to extradite Julian Assange. Here is the bill. And let's just take a look at who is sponsoring it, because it is indeed bipartisan. Representative Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, McGovern, Luna, Burleson, Duncan, Ms. Omar. So these are the politicians leading the charge. If you do not see your elected representative on this list, ask them to support it. I never tell you what to do. We never tell you what to think. But in this case, I think...
We are absolutely pro-peace, anti-war on this show.
And absolutely for freeing Julian Assange and for protection of the First Amendment. So this is really the only time. Usually I say call your representatives to ask for peaceful things. I absolutely think that this is in our collective interest, too.
We can all do that. Everyone in the United States right now, heck, call your MPs in the UK as well, but call your members of Congress in the United States. Take a few moments just to do that and let them know what you support, freeing of Julian Assange and this bipartisan bill right now.
Right. So take a look at a little bit of the text of the bill. They say that at least 70 senators and members of parliament from Australia are allied around this cause, and they believe that what Assange did should be considered regular journalistic activities and protected under the First Amendment. And they're asking the government to drop all charges and attempts to extradite him and allow him to return to Australia if he so desires. Now, I do not see why he would go to Australia. Australia did not have his back, has only just woken up to the fact that he's Australian. The United Nations calls him basically a stateless person because Australia acted with its head up its butt for the last, 13 years about Assange. But at least recently, they have begun to make some noise about it. A group of politicians came to the United States recently to lobby on his behalf. That's nice. Better late than never. And in fact, the U.S. ambassador to Australia, which is Caroline Kennedy, says that she does think the U.S. can resolve this, which I guess we think means not pursue him or extradite him further, but somehow not also lose faith. And also recall that in 2010, when the WikiLeaks documents came out, even Joe Biden admitted in an interview, this was, take a look at the date, oh, you can't really see it, but I wrote it down there, December 19th, 2010. This is a quote from Joe Biden about the WikiLeaks documents saying, I don't think there's any substantive damage, which means nobody lost their lives. They can't necessarily make the case that this made us less safe. What they were doing made us less safe by waging wars, killing people over overseas. And look, the president's approval rating is no longer circling the drain. It is down the drain. It's flushed, right?
Can I say something about that? So yeah. Here's the thing, right? Every president that has Biden's approval rating, every president in American history that currently has President Biden's approval rating at this level has either started a war or has resigned. So just think about that, right? That's the situation that President Biden is in right now. Wouldn't it be amazing? And by the way, we got word just a few hours ago, actually, and I've been predicting it here on the show, that President Biden will not run for president. He will be asked to step aside. They will try to put Kamala Harris or somebody else in his place. He will not be running for president in 2024. I don't see it as I'm going to tell you right here. It's not going to happen. We got word just a few hours ago. The Washington Post is reporting that top Democrats are meeting with Biden, asking him to step aside. If he steps aside, or he has a window in which he would step aside, this could be like his, hey, my approval rating is totally in the toilet. I've done nothing. What is the one Hail Mary pass that I could do before my presidency is over to win favor with people?
To give me a legacy that people can point to and say, give a thumbs up to.
President Biden pardoned Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Before he retired or resigned.
Right.
I know it sounds crazy. It's a big leap. There's a lot of leaps to happen. But the Washington Post reporting this afternoon that top-ranking Democrats have now met with the president and are trying to find a pathway to ask him to step aside as president of the United States. I'm telling you, stranger things have happened.
Even Obama has said something publicly now. You know, that's huge.
About
that's
Julian
like,
Assange?
Or about Biden.
No, about Biden.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're paving the way for Kamala Harris. I mean, and this was all part of the plan to begin with. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. Right. So this could be his legacy to pardon Julian Assange.
Right.
The one thing that maybe his one saving grace.
Even the liberal press, The Nation, just this week published this. This is the kind of things that are now coming out from a bipartisan mouthpiece saying Biden is overseeing the silent death of the First Amendment. Well, it's only silent if we're all silent. We're not being silent. You shouldn't be either. Take a look at this subtitle. It says, by continuing the persecution of Julian Assange, the U.S. is signaling how little it cares about press freedom. That feels true. Again, this is a left-leaning progressive magazine being willing to speak for Julian Assange because the way that anyone with decency knows that the torture of Julian Assange is a shame for all modern governments, especially Sweden, Ecuador, the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia. So if you're a UK voter, you can contact your MP or petition the House of Commons. So go to freeassange.org to learn more. If you are a US voter, you can demand that your representatives support House Resolution 934. You should demand it. Absolutely. And if you're on the fence about whether or not this is a case worthy of your attention, I saw a comment saying, why is Redacted defending a criminal? Who? Yeah, are we talking about
this
exactly?
Guy, Eric in the chat says, why is Redacted defending a criminal? You think Julian Assange is a criminal?
You're not well read in on this.
Yeah, just please read a book. Please read a book. Just pick up a book. Once you do a little bit of homework.
This book, in fact. Yeah. This is a great book by UN rapporteur on torture, Nils Melsner, who has repeatedly spoken out and hurt his career while so doing on the horrendous treatment of Julian Assange. You will not be on the fence anymore if you read this. And I just... You know, you can see my hair's on fire about this story. It always is when we talk about Julian Assange, because if he's not free, none of us are. Not just us as the press, but what you get to see. You will no longer get to know what nefarious things your government's doing. And so if you don't care about that and you think your government is doing wonderful things, first of all, why are you here on a show like this.
Well, someone says Eric probably is a member of the CIA. So that's probably why.
Even the CIA knows he's not. Okay.
I know. Even the CIA tried to kill him. They knew he was innocent, you know, because they didn't like that he exposed their bullshit.
Right.
Well, and we're always calling out other world leaders like Putin's so bad and this person is so bad. And what's the thing we always say? It's because of the way they've treated journalists. So it's like if we're going by that, like we've treated Julian Assange like that for something that, like you said, didn't kill anybody or whatever. It was just information that made us look bad, and they hate that.
It's a but crime. It's a crime of journalism.
He
didn't hack a computer. He was given. Anyway, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. Read if you're uneducated in this subject, just read a book on it. Literally, the book that Natalie recommended. We also had a great guest on just the other day where we deep dived on Julian Assange. You can read what's his name? I just want to make sure I had the name of his. Anyway, read that book as well. We linked to it during that segment on Julian Assange last week. So watch that. Great books out there. If you're uneducated in it, like Eric, just do a little homework. And I don't say that mean. Like, look, Eric is probably a busy person. He's probably got kids. He's got a family. He's a hardworking person, probably. I don't mean to be mean at all. But if you are uneducated in something and you think that, you know, we're doing a whole segment on it, there's a reason we're doing a segment on it. We've done our homework on it. So if you're uneducated in something, don't just yell at somebody on the internet.
Yeah, I would really
just
like
to spend
somebody
a little time to go and actually research, pick up a book and do the homework. Well, I'm not being mean about it. I know people are busy and they've got busy lives. But before you just yell things on the internet, do some homework first. That's all I'm saying.
And Julian Assange gave us the template that is currently playing out in front of us. What did he say? That they don't want to win wars. They want to wage wars, right?
Yeah, it's
they
the military
don't want successful
complex
wars.
Yeah.
And so he showed us exactly how sloppy the United States is when it goes abroad with their big guns, hurting people. And I think that we collectively as Americans don't want that. That is exactly the template that we're fighting up against, the ability to say those things so that we can speak for change.
Yeah, and don't be mean to Eric in the chat, guys. Everyone has gaps in their education. Everyone has gaps.
Maybe
in,
he didn't know? Mean Julian Assange as a criminal. Maybe he was talking about someone else.
Like something earlier, Michael Yon, I learned the Spanish connection with Syria that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that. That was a fascinating, you know. So anyway, we all have gaps in our education. So just be kind to Eric. He's here and he's taking time out to learn something. So Eric, thank you for your comment. We've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday. It's hard to believe it's only Tuesday. We're going to look at, I don't know if you noticed this, but over the past 48 hours, the United States is now lining up 15 new military bases in Finland. Being able to take over these 15 military bases in Finland. Yeah, that's what you get for your NATO membership, I guess, right? So now NATO is literally creeping up during winter on Russia's back door. And how is Russia going to respond to this? Well, we know actually how Russia is responding to this. They're actively carrying out massive maneuvers right now for possible winter attacks. That's exactly what they're doing. So these Ukrainian positions that are there being fed with NATO weapons, how will Russia respond? We're going to take you to the front lines on that, in the trenches right now with Russian soldiers who are there literally in the frozen ground practicing these maneuvers before this large-scale attack. So we'll get there in just a moment. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Lear Capital, because, you know, I don't know if you saw what happened this week with gold and silver prices, precious metals. Nice, nice numbers, guys, because the U.S. dollar up and down and up and down. $33 trillion in debt is the U.S. government right now. And last year was pretty terrible for most investors, and 2023 could even be worse unless you had some of your money in precious metals. If you had money in, it has protection against inflation. You know, obviously precious metals are a hedge against inflation. Our friends over at Lear Capital can help you get started buying gold and silver. Can ship it right to your front door. You don't even have to have it stored at your house. You can have it stored offsite in a high security storage facility. So it's totally up to you. If you have it in a safe, I know a lot of people like having it in their gun safe and other things like that. That's totally up to you. Or offsite in a 24-hour secured location. You can do that as well. And they also, if you've got an old IRA laying around or an old 401k that you left your job and it's just been sitting there, you're like, what do I do with this thing? You can actually convert that out of the stock market into a self-directed account where Wall Street won't make money off of those fees. You totally control it. Most people, they don't even know that a self-directed account exists. It's been around since the 1970s, but Guess what? The big banks will never promote it. They'll never talk about it. There's a reason they won't, because they don't make any money off of you when you set up a self-directed IRA. So our friends at Lear Capital can actually help you get set up with a self-directed IRA in minutes. In minutes. And the custodial fees for having a self-directed IRA are like a few hundred dollars a year. That's it. Not the tens of thousands that you pay to a 401k. I know, when most Americans learn about this, they're like, wait a second, I've been getting ripped off. All the fees that I'm paying for these 401k plans that Wall Street makes money off of and the company that you work for is making money off of? Yes, self-directed account you control, and you can actually invest in gold and silver inside of your self-directed account, and then it grows tax-free. That's right. So any of the appreciation you get from real estate or the rent from a real property or anything like that, all can grow tax-free. And then upon retirement, you can take it out, and all of that appreciation and wealth that you've built up in there, you don't pay taxes on it. So anyway, go to Lear Capital today. Get on the phone with them and just call their 800 number. They'd love to hear from you. Tell them our friends over at Redacted sent you. Call them 1-800-613-3557, and you'll get a free gold and silver guide, by the way, when you talk to them on the phone. Or you can go to their website, learredacted.com, and you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus medals with a qualified purchase. Again, that's learredacted.com. Get up to $15,000 in free bonus medals. Indeed, our friends at Lear, we want to thank them for the support of the show. By the way, Zelensky just gave a massive speech today, this press conference. It was very uncomfortable, very odd and very uncomfortable. And I watched it, and I watched live with the English translators. And I mean, the English translators were having such a hard time, like, I think even trying to like put the spin on it, I guess, because they're like, he's really saying this stuff and I'm going to say it. Okay. Zelensky says, we're winning the war against Russia. And the English translator is like, we are winning the war against Russia. And I can only imagine like the guy in the booth, like that's doing the translations, like, I don't know, I just got to say what he's saying. I can't make this up.
Right.
I mean, it's an absolute disaster right now. And there's discussions today on the Russian side, what part of Ukraine would be left if not divided up among Poland and other countries right now? What will be left on the western side of Ukraine? Something we've long been talking about here on the show. Is it going to remain the western side of Ukraine and Poland will not do anything about it? Or is it going to be divided up? If they don't stop soon and they don't call for a surrender, or if they don't surrender, this is going to be the end of Ukraine very, very soon. We've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday.
We're going to take a look at the German farmers who drove their tractors into Berlin. What do they want? Ralph Schollheimer is going to break that down for us. We're also going to bring you an update on COVID vaccines. And for that, we cannot do that here on YouTube. So I hope you're already on Rumble. And if you're not, you can join us there if you would like. But first, we want to tell you about the Redacted store, because if you would like to keep yourself warm this weekend or this winter, or this weekend, you can find some hoodies that are Redacted branded. You can find some posters, some flags. You can find mugs and stickers, things that, you know, tell your friends that you enjoy not the mainstream media, but independent media. You can buy this awesome shirt, Non-Pacifist Peace Extremists, because we are indeed a group of peace extremists over here on Redacted, and you can show your friends that you also are and that you don't trust the mainstream media, although that is no longer quite a shocking statement anymore. I am more shocked when someone says they do trust the mainstream media. Those are people that then I cannot trust. So signal to the world that you're a trustworthy person and you don't watch the mainstream media with Redacted gear. So check it on out at redactedstore.com. See what you like. Let us know. Send us pictures. Again, check it out, please, at redactedstore.com. Thousands of German farmers are protesting with their farm equipment in Berlin to protest a government plan to get rid of tax breaks for diesel. It would increase their costs significantly and present a major obstacle for, growing food, which humans need to live. So joining us to break this down is one of my favorite political analysts of European politics, is Ralph Schollheimer. He's also a visiting fellow at the MCC Budapest. Thank you so much for joining me. What the heck is going on?
Well, Natalie, great to join you again. It kind of reminds me the first time when I joined you and Clay was talking about the Dutch farmers protests. And now here we are about the German farmers protests, which
It's almost like deja vu, and we're both wearing vests. So this is the costume.
Yeah, no, let me break it down in two separate issues that help us understand what's going on here. It's different from the Dutch case. In the Dutch case, it was about nitrogen emissions and the use of fertilizer. And as you said correctly in your intro, in the German case, it's about tax policy and the use of diesel. But of course, underlying all of these debates is the same issue, which is that decision makers, politicians, really have no clue where stuff comes from. And this is, I find, is always the most interesting part of this. Like, we had the same conversations about energy policy. Obviously, as we see, whether it's a German policy towards nuclear energy or European and Western sanctions policy towards Russia, which is also an energy question, shows you that they have no idea how energy markets work. And now you see a similar thing in the agricultural market. There apparently really is this belief that food comes from the supermarket and there is no step preceding this. So what's going on in Germany, which makes it such an interesting case, is you have to do a lot to get German farmers in the street. And the current government has pulled it off. And what happened over the last 24 hours was just a prelude. What they have announced is going to happen starting on January 8th unless they scrap all these proposals altogether. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen over the next couple of days.
Okay, well, you're giving them the benefit of the doubt in the fact that they just don't get it. They don't understand, so they make policy that accidentally hurts people. Whereas I might lean towards they know what they're doing and they're purposely hurting the working class because that seems to be the appetite of European politicians. So do you really think it's ignorance or do you think it might be more deliberate attack on the working class?
I would say it's maybe a mixture of both. Right. Okay. I think these two things are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Are there some in, let's say, the permanent bureaucracy who lean towards what you are saying, right, to pursue an ideological program? I think that is very likely. But the actual political leadership, I would say in many cases, they're simply incompetent, which makes it easier for the so-called permanent bureaucracy, or as Trump would say, for the deep state. The problem here that I always see is, as I said, when offered the choice between a deliberate attack on the working class or on, let's say, the pillars of modern life, or these people simply being clueless and incompetent, I always tend to side with the second option. But that doesn't mean that the first option doesn't also play a role. I simply refuse to believe that somebody like the German Minister of Agriculture, that he knows what he was doing. Because the suggestions to do, for example, as you said, to do away with these tax breaks came from his ministry, and now he's saying, we had nothing to do with this. So it's a very, very, let's say, weird thing. And what makes it even weirder is, did they really expect it would cost German farmers about €1 billion every year? Did they really expect that they would just lay down and take it? It's a very, very absurd thing. Just to give another number. Until recently, there were about 500,000, so 500,000 agricultural, agricultural businesses in Germany. Now, that number has now shrunk to 250,000. So the agricultural sector in Germany has been under pressure for quite a while, similar to what's going on in the Netherlands and other parts of Europe, right? We see the same in Ireland, where they want to ban cows because of the flatulence. We see the same in France. So this is an event, let's say, that's going on all over the West and all over Europe. This is, and there I agree with you, this is a war on the agricultural sector, which, as so often, is underlined by this idea that the way we eat, the way we consume, that is the true problem and that needs to change. So in this sense, I think you're right. That is deliberate. But I think they entirely underestimate the actual consequences of their policies.
I don't think I know what I would prefer if they were nefarious or ignorant, but you're right. It seems like we've got both. Now, they're saying they need to do this to plug a €17 billion hole in the country's budget, but yet at the same time, they're saying they will double next year aid to Ukraine. So do you think the farmers understand that they're being put at the back of the line?
No, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't for two reasons. Like you mentioned, a support for Ukraine, but they something else going on. Almost 50%, slightly in the urban areas, it's above 50%. But Germany is spending a significant amount of its social security and welfare payments now for people who are not German citizens. And of course, justifiably so. So the people who feed the German population get stuck with the bill for policies that neither they nor the German people actually support. And this is then a set of priorities. It is increasingly the perception, which I think is correct, that the current German government is giving priority to everything except the German people. I mean, this is, I have no other way to describe this. From energy policy to foreign policy to climate policy to agricultural policy to migration policy, the actual desires of the German people, the actual well-being of the German people always seems to rank lowest on that list. And more people feel this. And as I said, we can quibble and discuss whether this is deliberate or whether it is incompetence or a combination of the two. But to be quite honest, it doesn't matter. They need to get out of office. This is like, you know, you go to a doctor who's a horrible doctor. I don't care that much if the doctor is horrible on purpose or if he's just an idiot, but you want to switch your doctor. And I think that's the same is true for the German people. This government has to go. And the big problem, and I talked about it with you in the past and with Claire as well, the big problem remains is the media, because they have built kind of a fortress around these either conspiratorial or incompetent politicians. And it's very hard to penetrate them. And I think this is something that we have to work on harder and harder and harder, because they still tell us that those in power are the best of the best. And again, this I would say is a problem from Washington with Joe Biden to Germany with Robert Habeck and Olaf Scholz and Annalena Baerbock, where they still act as if these are brilliant people. And it's just, you know, the population is too dumb to understand how great they are. And I'm not exaggerating here, because if you read the New York Times, they literally write that people just don't understand how well the economy is going. And in Germany, they write the same thing. They say that people just don't understand how brilliant Robert Habeck actually is. And this shows you again on part of the media. They're ideologically so blinded that they really, I think, either believe what they write themselves, or as you say, they are just so tied to their own worldview that they are willing to negate reality to push for their ideological preferences. And I think this is something that we have to stand up against. Like, again, and when I say we, I really mean us.
Right. And so, well, we saw that it cost a lot of this cost other politicians their jobs when they do this. We saw Jacinda Ardern be pushed out. We saw this happen to Mark Rutte. We've talked about this before, how politicians are held accountable for when they choose winners and losers. And the losers they choose are usually the working class. So will there be a fallout then in the next round of elections because the German people understand this?
Well, if we look at current polls, the answer is yes. But I think another issue, and this is something I can only tell you what I hope is going to happen, but I cannot predict with any certainty that it is going to happen. And that is, it will take now the people's courage to really make their voices heard during elections and at the voting booths. Because one issue we had very often in the past as well is people say, oh, I'm so dissatisfied with the government. I'm so dissatisfied with current policies. And then they go to the elections and they vote for the same parties again. Right? The best example was the last time in the United States. You saw it also in Great Britain. People say, I don't really like Joe Biden. I don't really like the Tories. But what alternative is there? Well, actually, there are alternatives. There are alternatives in the Netherlands, in Great Britain, in the United States, everywhere. But people need to have the courage and vote for them. And they must stop. I know this is a harsh thing to say. And they must stop falling for the propaganda from the mainstream media, because that is what it is. I'm very sorry to say this. These are harsh words, and I would have not said the same thing 6 months ago. But they're gaslighting the entire population. The numbers are there, right? Again, from the energy transition to migration to agricultural policy to COVID to lockdowns. The populations of the West have been gaslit on all major issues. We can no longer trust them. I mean, can they earn back our trust? I would say so. But so far, I see actually no evidence that they're trying to do so. They try to entrench those who are in power even further. And you see this also on the European level, all these new laws about misinformation and disinformation and malinformation. This is just this absurd idea. Basically, you want to fortify democracy against any change of those who are in power, which is the very opposite of what democracy is supposed to be. The whole point of democracy is that if a government does a bad job, you can vote them out. The new approach is, even if we do a bad job, we have to change the institutions in a way that we can never get out of office again. This is when they say we cannot allow Donald Trump to win. Like, we cannot allow the AfD to win. But the question is, why not? It's the people's choice, not yours. If you really think you're entitled to power, that's the first sign that you have lost any entitlement to power, because that's the least democratic thing, the least democratic position you can ever hold.
Yes. Okay, you said earlier, and I'm curious about this, that it takes a lot to get German farmers out in the street. And I don't know any German farmers. I would like to, if anybody wants to be my friend. Why do you say that? What is this archetype that you're talking about? Somebody who just sort of allows politics to play out and otherwise is salt of the earth. And then they're like, wait a minute. Is that what you mean?
Well, there is. I mean, there was this old saying, and this goes back to the early 20th century, that if Germans go to a demonstration, they first buy a train ticket. And the idea behind this was, or the famous saying of the Steuben parade in New York, that usually the streets are cleaner after the parade than before. So the Germans are not by default a revolutionary people. We saw it historically a couple of times. I always think about 1848. Of course, I'm very old, but not that old. But usually once the Germans get angry, it's very, very hard to get this under control. And this is what I keep telling also, you know, my more left-leaning friends, is you can try and prevent the AfD, for example, but something is going to come after the AfD. And at this point, I think people are still believing that you can create change within the existing political system, right? You change for a different, you vote for a different party and they turn the ship around. If they get the feeling that the entire political system has been corrupted, so the democracy itself can no longer make the changes that are necessary, they will turn against the system. And there will be politicians, there will be parties who will support such a change. And I think then we talk about actual, quote unquote, potential fascism or potential, let's say, more dictatorial political parties. Because the AfD, Geert Wilders, Donald Trump, Giorgia Meloni, you name them, none of them is a fascist. It's ridiculous. It's demeaning the term, right? It's making light of a very, very serious term and a very serious historical period. But can there be conditions where people say democracy is no longer working, so we need an alternative to the system and not just an alternative to those who are in power within the system? Yes, absolutely, which is the reason why I would encourage everyone to vote for these parties and give them a chance. That's how democracy works. You give them a chance. If they fail, well, then we're probably deeper trouble than we thought. But the point in a democracy is that you can vote those out who are in power. And we live now in a world in Western democracies where we have democracy on the surface, in appearance, but it's not a real democracy if you're governed by a uniparty system where you cannot distinguish Democrats from Republicans, Tories from Labour, the Greens from the Conservatives in Germany and Austria. If that's the case, right, this is not a democracy. It's a one-party state that appears as being a multi-party state.
Right. Yeah. And I can't imagine things would get worse with a third party at this point. The two parties we've got are making it worse every single day. So I want to ask you one other question. This is not related to the Dutch farmers, but we've been covering the Senate sex scandal that happened in the United States. And I'm curious if the German media has picked this up, because the other person involved in this sex scandal was a German student. The United States media seems very uninterested and uncomfortable with it, because it plays into this narrative that politicians are perverts, which is true. So has the German media expressed any interest in this, given that it was a German exchange student?
I mean, not yet. It might take a little longer until it penetrates the media here, but that's probably the wrong expression. I mean, I was an exchange student in the United States, and I have to say my time over there was apparently significantly less exciting.
Oh, nobody came on to you in a Senate building. That happened.
But it brings me back. I mean, I'm glad you do mention, because it brings me back to a point that at least I find so important, which is the people that rule us are clowns. And this is, as I said, are there potential people in the background, in the bureaucracy, who are very smart, very scheming, very calculating? Absolutely. But those on top, most of them are, I'm so sorry to say this, but they're incompetent and they're clowns, and it fits exactly what's happening. I mean, at the moment, I'm shocking to say, one of the people who makes most sense in the U.S. Senate is John Fetterman, who had a series of strokes. So we have kind of reached this point in the political discourse where the guy with brain damage makes more sense than anybody else. And this, I think, is a very nice indicator of what a political culture is standing at the moment. But
yeah, every day it looks more and more like the Hunger Games, where the politicians in the Capitol have to take morphling in order to not feel the human emotions that they should feel for inflicting pain on other people. And it feels like our politicians absolutely are anesthetized perverts. So yeah, that's what we've got.
But I think one thing is, at some point, quote unquote, we the people gave them the power to do so. And I think it is time, by peaceful means, one has to be careful with what one says these days, but to take back that power. And what I mean by this is to be aware that most politicians are opportunists. Most politicians, have never really done a single day of honest work in their day. It's very absurd for me still. You can enter politics as a middle-class individual and leave it as a millionaire. Something's wrong there. When we see this now with the Hunter Biden scandal, all these kind of things, I don't think that Joe Biden is the exception here. It's just that he's now in the spotlight. We know there is insider trading going on from all parties. These are not, would you trust these people with your children? Probably not. Right, exactly. I mean, they are, and the people know this. If you look at popularity, nobody trusts these politicians. And yet somehow we have this dichotomy of thought that we justifiably so don't trust our politicians. But at the same time, that's more pronounced, I think, in continental Europe than elsewhere. We have this tremendous trust in the state as an institution. So we say those who run the state are all incompetent or against us, but we have to give more power to the state. And I think this is one of the big problems we have currently in the West, is that on the one hand, people want to be liberated from, let's say, a state that dabbles in every issue of their daily life. But at the same time, there is a fear of independence because, of course, the welfare state is comforting, right? It's enervating in a sense because it gives you a certain security, a certain comfort. And to really be kind of put back in a position where you are truly in charge of your own life is something that on the one hand sounds enticing, but of course, that also comes with certain risks. And I think this is a little bit the most insidious part of the story of the West at the moment, which is we are in this kind of netherworld at the moment where we don't really know whether we want liberty or we want, cradle to grave state that takes care of every single element of our lives. And I think this is something that we have to decide in elections with the parties we vote for, but that's going to be part of the debate. So to make this point even more succinct is, if the political change comes that many of us are hoping for, that change will have to entail things that are also going to be painful, right? To give you a few examples, the current pension systems are no longer, they are not sustainable. The entire welfare state, as it is currently constructed, is no longer sustainable. If we want the West kind of to maintain its prosperity, we will have to find a way to play a role in the world, right? That will also entail an active foreign policy. So this idea that many have, you can simply retreat from the world and still be rich and wealthy, is also not going to work. So there are going to be very, very tough decisions to be made, even by the populist parties. So I'm a supporter of the populists for them to get in power. But once you're in power, populism alone is not going to cut it. They will need actual programs. And as we see in Italy with Giorgia Meloni, once they are in power, very quickly, they can turn out to be a disappointment. I'm afraid that something similar might happen to Geert Wilders. In many ways, I have to admit that the 4 years of Donald Trump were probably the one example where expectations were over-fulfilled. But unfortunately, then he lost in 2020 for numerous reasons that would take too long to get into. But who knows? Maybe he gets a new chance next year.
Now, we do have a template. For many Asian countries have been through some painful reforms in order to pave the way for economic stability and heightened investor interest. So there are templates if we want to study. The problem is the West thinks no one else exists but us. So, but we can talk about that some other time. So thank you so much for this analysis. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You can find Ralph on Twitter, Scholheimer. It's spelled on the screen, S-C-H-O-E-L, and then the word hammer. Thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Natalie. Always great to be with you.
Thanks, Ralph. Really appreciate that. We thank you for subscribing and being a part of our show every night. If you guys subscribe here, your name will pop up here on the big screen on YouTube and Rumble. However, for our next segment, we cannot do this next segment on YouTube because of their terms and conditions. And while we can reach a large audience, there are certain stories that they will not allow us to talk about. And the next story we are not allowed to talk about on YouTube because we're going to get into the nitty gritty of it with some newly released documents. And investigative journalist Sonia Elijah is going to be joining us. And so for that, we are going to move over here. Here is where we're going right now. Rumble.com/redacted. That is where we are going. It's totally up to you if you guys want to join us over there or not. But we are going to deep dive what she has uncovered. And it is deeply disturbing, to say the least. Come on over to Rumble. So good night, YouTube. Thank you guys so much for subscribing. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube and Rumble. But for now, good night, YouTube. And we are now moving over to Rumble. Hello, Rumble. Nice to see all of you guys tonight. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our community here. I can't believe 450,000 subscribers now on Rumble. You guys are amazing. Thank you guys for standing for free speech. And the truth. We really, really appreciate it. A short time ago, I had a chance to sit down with Sonia Elijah, investigative journalist, to talk about what she's uncovered in her new report for Trial Site News. And what she told me is eye-opening. Take a look. Did vaccine manufacturers knowingly release a vaccine that they knew didn't work from the very beginning? Meaning their trials showed devastating results. They covered it up and then released 3 billion doses anyway to an unwitting public with a massive PR campaign encouraging them to go and get these so-called vaccines. Well, investigative journalist Sonia Elijah has the receipts, has the documents, and she joins me now. Sonia, great to see you again. Thank you for your journalism on this story.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So what did you uncover? It seems that Pfizer, BioNTech, they knew from the beginning that these things were faulty and they were not working and they covered it up. Am I wrong?
Yes. Yeah. So essentially, early this year, I broke a story that the that Pfizer actually, evidence was given to me that strongly suggests that BioNTech falsified their Western blots. So this is where the sort of story begins. And a Western blot is a test that you do to identify a specific protein. And evidence was given to me that showed they had copied and pasted their Western blots. It was known as the Blockgate scandal. And this was the test they submitted to the regulators to prove the fidelity of their product, to prove that only the spike protein was being expressed by their modified mRNA found in the shots. So this scandal has come full circle with the recent publication of a Cambridge University study which showed that actually this technology, there's a ribosomal frame shifting occurring, meaning there's a, like it's slipping, this technology. What is going on there, just to explain to the viewers, is that this isn't human, this isn't natural mRNA in these shots. They've been modified. One of the building blocks of the mRNA is a completely synthetic compound called N1-methylpseudouridine. They replaced natural uridine with this synthetic molecule. And essentially what is happening, it's causing problems during the translation process when proteins get synthesized. So the ribosomes in the body, when they come to read this transcript, this modified mRNA transcript, which they've never seen before, they get confused and they sort of slip. It's called frame shifting. And that means that there is, instead of, we've got abnormal proteins resulting in that. And so this Cambridge study highlighted that you have an off, they called it off-target proteins being produced, which can trigger off-target immune response in the body. Now, they did downplay it. They said, well, there's no evidence of harm. It happened in about a third of the patients. There were only 22 patients that they tested this on.
A third? And, only a third of the patients that we tested.
Yes. And what is really interesting, Clayton, is that the mainstream media, like the likes of the BBC, they downplay it. They say, oh, it's a slip. It's a glitch. It can easily be fixed, right? This is what they're saying. But to put this into context, actually, the two key researchers of this study have a pending patent application for related mRNA technology, and part of the study was funded by the British government. So they're not going to highlight the harms in this study. So I've gone into this. I've interviewed Kevin McKernan actually early this year, and he said actually in every vaccine molecule, there is an error. So for them just saying, well, it's just in a third, actually, for in every vaccine molecule, there's an error. But what I wanted to touch on was how they knew about this fault and they never properly fixed it. So in the vaccine, this is in the mRNA vaccine, they put two stop codons, which is like a full stop, a period at the end of a sentence to tell the ribosomes to sort of stop. The codons that they picked are notorious for errors. So they knew it was going to have a problem. So that's why they put multiple stop codons instead of just one. So that proves that they knew this was an issue. And scientific literature also shows that with this synthetic RNA, the problems that can happen. So they knew it. They didn't properly fix it. And the issue is that you get, it's almost like if you feed pasta through a pasta making machine and it just continues and you get it just the speed, the way it's doing it, it just, and then you get protein folding. So, and that can lead to a lot of diseases. For example, Alzheimer's disease is a known disease from protein folding disorders. And also you have the whole autoimmune aspect of this. The body's it's going through an immune response because of these abnormal Frankenstein proteins being produced in the body. They knew about this problem. They never fixed it. The Blotgate scandal ties in well with this because why were they falsifying their Western blots? Because they knew that other proteins were probably being expressed. Why copy and paste it? So also I have information, which I will be writing on soon, is that the European Medicine Agency was aware of the risk of autoimmune disease from the synthetic RNA, from the N1 methyl pseudouridine. This is in their internal documents that was leaked during the that sort of email leak scandal, which I've also written on for Trial Site News. So it's really scandal upon scandal. But now we know that the inventors of this technology, Clayton, this is Weissman and Carrico, they were recently given the Nobel Prize for right. this faulty technology.
It's unbelievable. The copying and pasting, I want to just touch on that really quickly. What were they copying from? Right. The idea that some, you know, a student would copy off of someone else's paper, they'd be copying off of what, you know, a great paper. Right. So they're going to steal from someone they know is going to get 100%, you know, or an A on the test. Right. So they're going to copy that. So where did that initial sort of 100% or A grade come from that they decided to copy and paste and pass that off as the to get their regulatory approval? Where did that initial copy come from?
I'm going to clarify that point. So the this anonymous expert provided me with evidence that this is the Western blot submitted actually to the FDA. What they did is they needed to show the Western blots across four different vaccine batches, transfected at six different concentrations. What they've copied and pasted are the individual bands across the different batches to look like they're uniform, to look like there's consistency.
So they copied it from their own self. They had one batch that they had that they showed okay. And then to show consistency across the batching, like a Coca-Cola plant, making sure that all of the same, you know, bottles of Coca-Cola are coming out the same in a batch. They're copying and pasting this across it so that it looks good to regulators.
So good to regulators, and also so that it proves the fidelity of their product, showing that, look, there's a spike protein that's being produced. When we know that any other proteins, and they haven't even identified what, this isn't the Cambridge study, this is, they haven't even said, what are these abnormal proteins? What are these off-target proteins that they talk about? And also, Why wasn't this testing of the product done before they rolled it out to billions of people, to pregnant women, nursing mothers, young babies? I mean, it's really a crime.
It is crime. It's absolutely criminal. I mean, billions of doses rolling out to pregnant women, to all walks of life, and they knew this in their initial data, covered it up in order to make billions of dollars. And of course, the media was complicit. You mentioned the BBC. I'll just put up this headline here. Here's a BBC News headline. COVID study. mRNA vaccines could be fine-tuned. The revolutionary technology could be updated for even greater accuracy. What they're, covering up there is that they were faulty from the beginning and that we're going to fine-tune and tweak this technology. The headline should be, criminal vaccine manufacturers knew this technology was faulty, and now they're trying to save themselves or something. I mean, can you fine tune this later on?
Yes, they sort of again downplay, oh, look, we've got a problem here, but we can easily fix it. So this is how they've packaged it to the masses, right? Well, this is actually a huge safety issue, right? This is a huge red flag. But not only that, Clayton, I mean, we know, and I've written on this for my Substack as well, Sonia Elijah Investigates, is they're adulterated. So you have plasmid DNA being present in these mRNA shots and SV40 cancer-promoting genetic sequences being found in these shots. So you have cancer promoting, I mean, it's insane, the bacterial DNA. And so there's many issues related to this technology. It's not just, oh, it's this abnormal proteins being expressed. They are adulterated products. I would say fraudulent marketing has gone on as well, because in the packaging insert of this product, it says that the modified mRNA encodes for the spike protein, right? For the viral spike protein, when clearly it doesn't. It encodes for everything else. I mean, we don't know what these proteins are being expressed. And and there's also an issue with the plasmid DNA. Many scientists, Kevin McKernan, he was the first one to discover this. Dr. Philip Buchholz, his lab, independent lab, found this presence of the bacteria DNA. And they said that it can and will likely integrate into the host cell's genome. You know, we have insertional mutagenesis going on here. And again, BioNTech knew about.
So this is fraud. I mean, this is criminal fraud. They knowingly had problems with this. They knew it didn't work. They knew it were causing all sorts of side effects. And they covered it up and they put it on a willing population, an unwitting population, and with massive PR campaign. You're not a lawyer, or maybe you are. Do you think that this information, these documents, these revelations will lead to massive class action lawsuits? I know they are protected with immunity in a lot of situations, but do you think that we will start to see the floodgates open now for litigation against these companies on a massive scale?
I do believe that. I do believe the floodgates are open. I mean, you have the recent lawsuit brought by the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, right? He's suing Pfizer for misrepresenting their efficacy and for conspiring to censor public discourse. So, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond just all vaccine efficacy. They claim that it was 95%. It was never, I've done my own research into this. It was never 95% efficacy. So I feel that there's so much ample evidence here, right? That willful fraud, I mean, there's no other way to describe it. And if there's willful fraud, I mean, this is in their contracts, surely their indemnity status should cease to apply.
Great point. And we'll see if it does. It seems like they have some massive, massive immunity here that's protecting them, some indemnity that's massive and protection protecting them. And yet, the media are complicit in this. The media should be investigated for this as well. The media, of course, making millions of dollars on television advertising. All you need to do is tune into, you know, Sunday NFL games to see Pfizer buying spots on television, on Fox and other stations, promoting going and getting your double dose. In the United States, yeah, this is the case where Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs is excited that he can get both a flu shot and a Pfizer shot for COVID simultaneously. And he's showing the blue Band-Aid on his arm and all of that. And he's very excited he can get double vaxxed, in one shot. So they're actively promoting this. Pfizer is actively promoting a vaccine they know is faulty.
But it's not just Pfizer, Clayton. It's the U.S. government. It's the British government. They've paid the media to promote the vaccine uptake. This is essentially what has gone on. You've got governments being the marketing arm for these pharmaceutical companies. Not just governments, right? Health authorities, promoting it. There's scandal upon scandal here. And just also to point out the excess deaths that have come about from this post-vaccine rollout. And that has been completely silenced, suppressed. I know Andrew Bridgen here, the MP, he's been really trying to push that into parliament. And it's just been, he keeps in the parliament, in the chamber, and it's to an empty chamber. It's just, why the silence, the censorship, all of that? The public essentially have been lied to. It's one big lie.
Yeah, he stands there. Andrew Bridgen stands there courageously, and there's like three people in the chamber with him. Yeah. And to me, this is one of the greatest, one of the greatest tragedies in human history that's been perpetrated on the world population. And there should be a new Nuremberg trial status to get to the bottom of this. But all of these people are tied together and making billions of dollars. The media, the government pushing this, and they're all complicit in this.
And I just wanted to mention, Claire, this is why it's so important, channels like yours, platforms like Trial Site News, independent media, for people not to trust what's been said in the mainstream media, what the governments are telling them, not to trust it, do their own research, go to alternative independent media channels for their information.
Al Gore, just speaking at the big conference about a week ago, saying that, you know, alternative media, that's dangerous. You know, mainstream media is where it's at. And we should shut you down. And, you know, we should be investigated. Alternative media is a problem. Mainstream media is the only trusting news source for you. This is what you have from these politicians. Sonia Elijah, thank you so much for your journalism on this. This is really remarkable work. We'll have it linked up in the description below for people to go and read your latest Trial Site News piece, as well as on Substack. Thank you so much, Sonia, for your great work on this.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, now you can see why we couldn't do that story on YouTube. So our thanks to Sonia. Hope you have a Merry Christmas as well. And thanks to all of you guys for subscribing and being a part of our show here on Rumble. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you to all of you for your amazing support here. I can't believe we're almost at 450,000 subscribers here on Rumble. So thank you guys so much for subscribing and being a part of our community. I should mention we have our redacted store. And of course, you can get in these orders right before Christmas, and we're going to keep the prices right as low as we can right now. We only have them slightly above cost, the cost of printing right now, and those prices will go up after Christmas. So grab what you can right now. You can go to our redactedstore.com, check out our mugs, hoodies, and everything else to support independent journalism. It really helps support the show here. And much love to all of you guys. Thank you guys so much for an amazing show and amazing feedback today. And we will be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.